Broadcasting Network, April 7th, 2024. The day before the big built up event. I mean, the pressure cooker that I'm sure we all feel like we're in, this manifested and orchestrated pressure cooker. You know, today was my father's birthday, my late father. And he would be approaching, getting real close to 90. And just lost my uncle, like my second father. That's why I've been off for a couple weeks. And then we had quote unquote Easter last Sunday. I was thinking about this whole thing with Passover, Christ being killed on Passover, and how Passover is not until the end of this month. Something strange here with the Catholic Church and tinkering with the time possibly here. I haven't dug into it. I've just been so all over the place in the last couple of weeks. So somebody very close to me has a friend in their late 40s in the hospital, almost for sure jabbed, had some cancer, had some other problems with the organs. A coworker of mine stroked out a couple weeks ago. This is all during the time I've been off finding out about these things. And then just the amount of articles out here, Seattle Storm CFO dies. I mean, these football players, former football player, I mean, the soccer players continue collapsing on the pitch. Geert Vandenbosch, you know, this guy from the beginning, this former Gavi scientist and so forth, really, really deep into the world of vaccines, warning about this massive tsunami of death about to hit the world. And, of course, the eclipse and its buildup for tomorrow. And, I mean, I got a bunch of clips concerning this, and then I guess we should try to get into a little bit of it. Sam, let's start with clip 19 if you want to get that one ready. I mean, I might as well just try to, in rapid succession fashion, just play a little bit of some of these. It really, if we're not in these birth pangs, as the Bible talks about, before the return of Christ, and if this is all kind of just orchestrated by the powers that shouldn't be to make us feel like that we're in these birth pangs, and I've got all this red heifer stuff and the connections with the October 7th event and then these bombings into Syria, the attacks in Moscow, the bridge stuff. I mean, the amount of things that have happened since I've been on the air, just me trying to go through all of the things I send myself. You know, I send myself things every day. And for me to even try to triage this stuff, it was a harrowing experience just to try to get this broadcast together. I'm just like, my gosh. I almost felt like overwhelmed to the point where I was like, should I just go through my own links to myself and not even worry about trying to put anything? I mean, this is how pervasive this stuff is. I know, people got to deprogram at times and pull away from it, or it probably can drive a weaker mind mad. And I'll have to tell you, I mean, I consider myself a pretty strong mind, and, you know, you get too near the abyss, as Alex Jones always talks about, or you get too near the flame all the time, and then that's all you live, and it can and then this causes a person with my personality profile to become super introspective and super self-judgmental, and really just, you know, the fear of God's beginning of wisdom, as we all know. But I really just start analyzing my frickin' life and all the knucklehead things that I've done and all the wickedness and the bad decisions and the sick mentality that I've lived with. It really just makes you shudder to think about, you know, standing before God upon your death and answering for this life. You know, I've been, you know, the turmoil when you've been a sinner. I don't know, we're all sinners, but some of us we're sinners with a capital S. And I've told you guys on this broadcast, I've been through a lot of things in this life, and I'm only in my 50s, but us Gen Xers, I guess that's what they call us, we've got exposed to like some serious, you know, like the Roaring 20s, and I know the Mafia and all that stuff, and then the 60s and that artificially produced kind of Laurel Canyon military intelligence, the counterculture that was given out, and I've got a video we might be able to get to, or a clip, an audio clip about kind of like just what they did to the people in the 80s. Looking back on my life and just, you know, when you're around death, especially somebody real close, some people can glaze over it and they don't get self-judgmental, but I do. And I get very, let's just say, down on myself and full of regrets and all of those things. And so it's tough to... And then seeing the onslaught that the evil servants of the world are bringing forth, this war on our food supply, and you know, the devastation of infrastructure around the world purposefully, and which is going to eventually lead to, of course, what we know is the depopulation, massive die-off of humans. You know, you've got these, what the Canadians are doing to their people with this medical assistance and dying. States like Oregon and other places really starting to move towards that. But let's regroup and get back to the kind of this eclipse thing tomorrow. I took the day off after the day after. I'm working tomorrow, so... I won't be watching the eclipse, most likely. You know, and a bunch of these Native American leaders and some of these rabbis and all these other, they're purposefully not going to watch. I'm seeing it all over online as I'm digging around today. And I went outside for the last one and kind of just stood there. But I'm not real interested in seeing it, like all these drones out here that think it's something neat. Whereas, you know, typically eclipses and comets, you got this devil's comet and all this stuff. They are viewed upon by some ancient societies as bad omens. And so, and then, you know, well let's just kind of roll through some of this. So let's go ahead and roll clip 19 real quick.
I'm sorry, but the New York earthquake is about to get a lot bigger. And just real quick, we'll go over some things you probably have heard already, and then we'll go over the scary things you haven't heard. Yesterday, I just shared how lightning hit the hand of Apollo. I mean, Statue of Liberty. And I mean, the hand, the torch. So then we had this 4.8 earthquake. Well, the eclipse is 4.8. And 2 hours later, Brazil had a 4.8 earthquake. Of course, 4.8. Before we go any further, it's all speculation, this is all alleged, it's all my opinion. I also just showed you last week this trail of earthquakes going up the eclipse route. Well, where the eclipse hit was called White House Station, and our earthquake map is off the charts right now. I just showed you in this video that in the last 3 days, Japan and Taiwan both had big earthquakes. Now, this right here is the scary part to me. This made me reevaluate and relook into the earthquake map. The central mid-Atlantic ridge has had about 10 earthquakes in the last 3 or 4 days. Why does that matter? There have been thousands and thousands of people that had a dream that all of the East Coast of New York were underwater. This light blue line is the mid-Atlantic ridge. Now, with really big earthquakes, you'll usually have smaller earthquakes that lead up to them. What would happen if there's a major plate shift in the mid-Atlantic ridge? Maybe things going underwater? I mean, we've literally had like 50,000 earthquakes over the last month. I forget the exact number. And the Earth's frequency has been off the charts. Not to mention 5 incredibly strong storm paths going right along that line I showed you. Now let me take you back to 1811, which was when they had a total solar eclipse. And then 3 months later, for 4 months straight, they had massive earthquakes all around America. But the widely available illustrations we have of this 1811-1812 earthquake literally show things coming from the sky. That's weird. If you haven't by now, you'll eventually find that everything works in perfect patterns. Numbers, letters, frequencies, things happening in the atmosphere. This map is really starting to look plausible, isn't it? Did I miss anything? Let me know in the comments.
All right, go ahead and stop it. Now, you know that John Moore here on the network has talked about the Navy maps and so forth about, and I'm living here along the New Madrid fault zone area, and I've experienced a pretty decent earthquake somewhere 2001 2000, I can't even remember, but I was in an apartment where I was living at the time in South St. Louis, and I was up on the third floor, and I was sleeping. I was working the afternoon shift, you know, like the 3 to 11, 4 to midnight second shift they call it, and I woke up and everything in there, you know, all the dangling stuff, you know, everything was shaking, and it was a pretty decent one. So let's get 15 ready. This is just a YouTube short. Pat, one of the friend of mine listeners, sent, and let's go ahead and play that one real quick.
There was an eclipse that took place 7 years ago, went right across America. There's another eclipse coming right across America. It'll make a perfect cross on the center of the nation.
God made the first sign go through seven cities named Salem on August 21st, 2017.
The word Salem, according to the Bible, is peace. So God is saying seven times he offered peace. The next eclipse is coming. It goes through several cities here. Nineveh, 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 Nineveh. Jonah gave Nineveh 40 days. God said, you've got 40 days to repent. Only the sign of Jonah will be shown to you. And that's right here now. Seven and seven. Seven cities called Salem. Seven cities called Nineveh. And 7 years apart. Right in the center of the cross is a city called Rapture. What is God's message? We have got 40 days. We've got to repent and seek God like never before. He's coming very, very soon. There was an eclipse.
All right, you can stop it there. Pretty interesting. Now you see all kinds of the biblical application here going across the country. Pretty fascinating. I mean, you have to say, even if you are a skeptic, atheist, agnostic, what have you, or if you have more of a conspiratorial kind of viewpoint, that, okay, they're telling you it's going through all these cities, but the scientists lie about everything. Scientism, this fake religion that brought us the COVID baloney, that brings us NASA. By the way, NASA. Oh, and by the way, the earthquakes thing. Remember Jesus' prophecy of earthquakes in diverse places preceding his return? Forgot to mention that. But the NASA gang, okay, these shooting up these rockets. Let's go ahead and get 13 ready, Sam, while we're on this one. And this one kind of gives me some pause. Go ahead and play 13.
The total solar eclipse is just 8 days away, and NASA announced that they will launch 3 rockets during the eclipse. The rockets will help scientists study how Earth's upper atmosphere is affected during the phenomenon. The rockets were also launched during last year's annular solar eclipse. They were recovered in New Mexico. The total solar eclipse is happening on April 8th, and the next one isn't until 2044. So scientists are taking advantage of the rare opportunity to collect important data.
Okay, I'll stop it there. You know, I'm just kind of in the back of my head worried about, I mean, from what it appears, the cabal running what they call our government at this point is ready to take a large leap into, let's just say, civil unrest, depopulation, internment, executions type thing, full-blown red terror under the guise of liberalism. You see, it's real, real sick. And Transgender Awareness Day and all this. So I worry about the possibility of testing of some sort of an electromagnetic pulse weapon, you know, like the hijacker. He came on and gave his warning, kind of like last week, about manipulating the towers and the 5G, whether it be along the path. Now, this, I'm just adding this, whether it be along the path of totality or not, because there's all of these just plethora of stories about cell towers going down, internet disruptions, blah, 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 blah. I mean, up the wazoo. Now, as far as right this moment, I lean towards kind of like a Y2K thing, to where they're going to let this blow past us. And then they've got something big planned for us. Okay, now let's go ahead and get clip 11 ready. I mean, I just got a kind of a smattering here. This one, the hijacker sent me a few days ago. And let's just listen to what this guy, Funky Prepper, says. Go ahead and roll clip 11.
There is something I feel that we need to consider here. Because there is so much mainstream coverage on theories and all the rest of it, which look like are happening on the eclipse day. Now, how many times have we had a heads up by mainstream media before something bad happening? Zero. So I think what's going on is they're doing their best to ramp up loads of fear and basically lowering our frequencies, our energies. And on that day, all of these low frequencies and energies are going to be harvested for satanic, occult, strange, ritualistic purposes by those guys in the shadows, which we have no idea who they are. Okay, don't forget, we've mentioned this on live streams before. If you really think the true wealthy, powerful people around the planet are known publicly, you've got another thing coming. I mean, the richest list by Forbes, Bezos and Musk, and you know, these are the richest people on the planet, really. Do you really think that's the case? I don't. I think that's just a smokescreen. The real people, the real money, pulling the strings. One, we are not going to know who they are. They are not going to be in the public light at all. And we are never going to know how much money that they actually got. But I would like to guess that they have far more than the richest person publicly on the planet. That's just my take on it. Okay. So, yeah, a lot of stuff is being pulled behind the scenes, and the strings are just being yanked around like crazy right now, all leading up to this event. Personally, if I was in America, I probably wouldn't go out and see it. Only because when you look at historically, you know, there used to be cleansing rituals after an eclipse. People wouldn't eat during around the time of the eclipse. And it's always brought about bad things. It's always like an omen of bad things to come. It's never, ever been put out there to enlighten or enhance life in this experience. It's always been the opposite, the negative. So by taking part in watching that and whatever it is, you are literally fueling it. It's almost like all of these ritualistic satanic halftime shows on the Super Bowl, all of the Olympic Games, all of the Commonwealth Games. Them rituals are never ever going to work if no one turned up to the stadiums to watch them. Them rituals would not be fed and they would not work. They absolutely need
go ahead and stop it there. Let's go ahead and go to 18, Sam. This is Richie from Boston. He just kind of put this one out. And it's kind of interesting. Go ahead and let's roll 18.
Earthquake in 140 years, John.
Look at all that. And it's not over yet because we've got the eclipse earthquake coming up on Monday. As Deborah Ross was telling us, it's going to be a transformative experience for anybody who is in the area of totality.
So yeah, that just happened. That really just happened. For whatever reason, the mainstream news talking head dude decided to tell us that there would be an earthquake during the eclipse. Now, let me show you a couple of crazy little wacky things. I find it very, very odd that many people that actually lived in the area either said that it sounded like an explosion that was an earthquake-type feeling thing afterwards, and the fact that it was a 4.8. January, February, March, April, the fourth month of the year, the 8th. Really, dude? I mean, right directly, straight up in front of our faces. And then, don't forget that we've got the Statue of Liberty getting hit by lightning and the mainstream once again reporting, it looks like lightning's coming down from the sky, but then it also looks like it's coming out of the torch up into the sky. That's a strange thing to say. It's just an odd, strange thing to say. So let's tally up here. The eclipse is coming on the 4-8. It's coming with the Devil Comet connected to it, which is just a strange, odd, unusual, queer thing. It's a 4.8, which happens to be the exact date of the eclipse. And then magically, suddenly, and out of the blue, Sicily's Mount Etna starts blowing rare smoke rings into the sky, which is just weird. I mean, look at these things. These are coming out of a volcano in Sicily. It's blowing smoke rings. Now, let me explain something to you, and this should make sense. It should make some sense. But before they used their machinery, the technology that they've had for the longest time, they knew how to make earthquakes long, long ago. We know about this. If you're going to blast the Northeast, you got to do a test run first, because you can't set up for the big day and then just hit the button and go, oh shit, it didn't work. This was the test run. This was the test run right here. This all happening at the exact same time.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. So the possibility of the government with the rockets doing some sort of a limited EMP strike, or, you know, the earthquake weapons that we all know is most likely in the hands of various governments, and they used them on each other. Remember the 1970s treaty about all these people signed it saying they weren't going to use weather weapons against each other. Remember the Air Force document owning the weather in 2025, weather as a force multiplier, all that stuff. So pretty mind blowing that we're here and, you know, in another 5 months or so is my 10th anniversary here on RBN. And just, if you know, the whole build up to this kind of time we're living in, and it's really crazy how it, when it's finally here, part of you doesn't want to believe it. You're like, no, it can't be. And then part of you's like, good, there's so much wicked evil on the world that, you know, maybe it's God's time to smack the pieces off the chessboard. We shall see you on the other side, and we will continue. Between the lines, feeling fine, but we're losing time. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my faith, left my side, it's gonna die.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Bottom of the first hour. We might take calls in a little bit, folks. Don't call in yet. Remember to support the network if you can. There's a lot of people doing this for free, not getting paid. You know, when you do a show like this on a Sunday night, it's like you got the show and it's basically I don't want to say it's hanging over you, but it's a responsibility that you know that you got to get on the air at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. And so, you know, people do a lot of sacrificing to get on the air and share their thoughts and all that stuff and do the research and put things together. And so remember, if you can, support the network, if you've got the financial wherewithal. So we're going to go to clip 12 here. We're going to do a couple more clips about the eclipse, and then we're going to move on. But this is a pretty good one. Go ahead and play clip 12.
April is shaping up to be quite the month for the prognosticators of doom. A couple of videos ago, I addressed the convergence of the upcoming total solar eclipse and the many that believe it coincides with the Jewish and evangelical belief in the needed burnt sacrifice of five red heifers to bring about the emergence or the return of the Messiah, depending on which faith that you subscribe to. And these people are very, very serious. A link to that video is in the description. Also, there are many others that believe that this so-called Great North American Eclipse of 2024 is more than just an historic astronomical event. And for a variety of reasons, it's considered a prophetic event. For example, it occurs on the eve of the Jewish biblical New Year, Nisan 1. Its path runs diagonally opposite of the eclipse 7 years ago to form a giant X across the continental United States. Also visible next to the eclipse will be an unusually bright comet that last appeared 70 years ago. And very interestingly, its path crosses through an area that will see a plague-like explosion of insects. Trillions of cicadas will emerge in the biggest invasion in centuries. That hasn't happened since Thomas Jefferson was the president of the United States in 1803. There are also those that believe that there is a secret battle between the Large Hadron Collider, which wants to create what they are calling a God spark or a mini supernova, which will create a wormhole into another timeline, and a timeline that NASA wishes to prevent, as NASA wants to maintain the so-called lower third dimension, where they believe the illusion of freedom thrives. And there are still others that believe that a fleet of alien spacecraft that is supposedly hovering around the moon will finally be visible to amateur Earth-based observers. And of course, after that event, full disclosure of alien presence in our solar system will emerge. It seems like everyone, from conspiracy theorists, alien enthusiasts, and religious fundamentalists, all have their stake in this upcoming event. I would say it is strange, however. Many, many things are happening simultaneously, and I myself haven't seen a buzz like this since perhaps the Mayan end of the world hype back in 2012. But I would say the most interesting on those that are trying to cash in on the eclipse hype is that of the United States military itself, that released a paper 2 days ago titled Solar Eclipse Apocalyptic, but not in the ways you might expect. So what does this mean? Well, let's find out together. Hi, everyone. Just to let you know, I have some
old favorites. All right, go ahead, stop it there. And then, finally, let's do clip 16. This is Greg Reese. Just put this one out about 5-6 days ago. Go ahead and play a little bit of this one.
The solar eclipse on April 8th is becoming a major event. The National Guard is being deployed, and the people are being advised to have 2 weeks of food and to fill their fuel tanks. This could all be explained due to the fact that tens of thousands of visitors are expected along the path of totality. But many people believe that they could be preparing for possible earthquakes due to the Devil Comet aligning with the April 8th eclipse. And due to the fact that in 1811, a comet also appeared in the skies during a solar eclipse on the same path and was followed by the biggest earthquakes in American history. Known as the New Madrid earthquakes, around 10,000 earthquakes occurred in just 3 months' time, the biggest being measured at 8.8 magnitude. They were the most devastating series of earthquakes in recorded history. But it was a different comet, and while some claim that a solar eclipse can trigger earthquakes, this scenario seems unlikely. This eclipse season is, however, a very rare event. The recent eclipses in August of 2017 and October of 2023, along with the upcoming one on April 8th, forms an Aleph and a Tav over the United States. The Aleph and Tav are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. These eclipses mark the end of the great year, a 26,000-year period that starts anew with the dawning of Aquarius and a new golden age. Manly P. Hall wrote that high-level Masons designed America for a peculiar and particular purpose, a secret destiny to bring about a new Atlantis or a new world order, wherein a king descended of a divine race will rule over all. In rituals, this king is symbolized as Apollo, Horus, or Nimrod, the father of Freemasonry, and is thought to be a descendant of the biblical Nephilim, or the Sumerian Anunnaki. According to Thomas Horn, this will happen in 2025, which corresponds to several documents published by intelligence agencies, such as Global Governance 2025, Global Trends 2025, and the 2025 Deagle Forecast on World Population. NASA is notorious for performing Masonic rituals based on the Egyptian mystery schools, Apollo being the same character as Horus, Sirius representing Isis, and Atlantis being the new golden age they hope to restore. And during the eclipse on April 8th, NASA will fire three rockets named after Apep, the Egyptian serpent god, whose goal was to devour Ra, the sun. And when the sun reemerges after 3 minutes of darkness, it will be likened to the rebirth of Horus, their new king of the Golden Age. CERN, known for practicing occult rituals at a statue of Shiva, the Hindu god who symbolizes death, destruction, and the end of an age, will be firing up their Large Hadron Collider to full power during the solar eclipse. And Israel, who is in the midst of committing genocide, is preparing to sacrifice a red heifer, a ritual sacrifice to prepare them for taking back the Temple Mount.
Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Those sacred cows were showcased in Washington at a recent prayer gathering. Many evangelicals believe these red heifers will usher Christ's second coming.
We need the Messiah to come, right? So for me, the red heifer is red for the blood of Jesus Christ.
A massive altar already awaits, where the heifers are to be burned. According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
Once they forcibly take the Temple Mount away from billions of Muslims worldwide, it will predictably thrust the world into the peak of chaos that these secret societies have been designing for centuries. And their plan is to bring order out of this chaos, with their divine king to rule over the world. But these are just rituals, and fear is an illusion. We can always choose love. Reporting for InfoWars.
All right, you can stop it there.
So, we're going to probably move into this red heifers thing for a second, but Protocol 24, the Protocols of Zion, confirming the roots of King David, training of the king, setting aside of direct heirs, the king and three of his sponsors, the king is fate, irreproachability of exterior morality of the king of the Jews. Only those who are unconditionably capable of firm, even if it be to cruelty, direct rule, will receive the reins of rule from our learned elders. The king's plans of actions for the current moment, and all the more so for the future, will be unknown, even to those who are called his closest counselors. Only the king and the three who stood sponsor for him will know what's coming. In the person of the king, who with unbending will is master of himself and of humanity, all will discern, as it were, the fate with its mysterious ways. None will know what the king wishes to attain by his dispositions, and therefore none will dare to stand across an unknown path. It is understood that the brain reservoir of the king must correspond in capacity to the plan of government it has to contain. It is for this reason that he will ascend the throne, not otherwise than after examination of his mind and by the aforesaid learned elders. That the people may know and love their king, it is indispensable for him to converse in the marketplaces with his people. This ensures the necessary clinching of the two forces which are now divided one from another by us, by the terror. This terror was indispensable for us till the time comes for both these forces separately to fall under our influences. The king of the Jews must not be at the mercy of his passions, and especially of sensuality. On no side of his character must he give brute instinct power over his mind. Essentially worse than all these disorganizes the capabilities of the mind and clearness of views, distracting the thoughts to the worst and most brutal side of human activity. The prop of humanity in the person of the Supreme Lord of all the world, of the Holy Seed of David, must sacrifice to all his people all personal inclinations. Know how it says in the book of Daniel, he will not regard the desire of women and that sort of thing. You see the parallel here? Our Supreme Lord must be of an exemplary approachability. Now, here's another one. This is out of the, as far as the research that I can do, this is the last book that Tex Mars wrote and released before his death. So this was released in 2018, and he died in 2019. And this book is called Blood Covenant with Destiny, The Babylonian Talmud, The Jewish Kabbalah, and The Power of Prophecy. Okay? And this is in the last few pages of the book, and I want to read a little bit of it. Parable of the Householder and the Vineyard. Likewise, in the parable of the householder and the vineyard, Christ remarkably delivered a prophetic warning. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto him likewise. But last of all, he sent to him his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Here again is a scene depicting the Jews of the house of Israel Now, some people will argue that it was the Jewish elites, the Pharisees, the scribes, and so forth, that Jesus was ripping on, not the entire group of people there. Here again is the scene depicting the Jews of the house of Israel favored by a householder, God, being leased a valuable property on behalf of its owner and householder. The property had on its premises a vineyard. The lessers, called the husbandmen, the Jews, rebelliously refused to render unto the absentee householder the fruits of the vineyard which rightfully belonged to him. They even took his servants, Christians. I would say that he's talking about the prophets. He sent all those prophets throughout the years, and then they, where it says all the blood of the prophets is on you and all that. Yeah. And did beat one, stoned another, and killed yet another. The householder sent more service, but the selfish and cruel lessers, the Jews, did the same thing to them. Lastly, the householder, God, sent unto them his own son, reasoning, surely they will reverence my son. But the greedy, evil husbandman saw the son and conspired against him. And they caught him, and blah, blah, blah. Is this not exactly a mirror image of what the Jews did to Jesus, the Son of God? Rabbinical leaders in Jerusalem conspired. They knew that Jesus was the rightful heir to the kingdom. And they said, come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. Bribing Judas to betray Jesus, they indeed caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, had the Roman soldiers take him to a hill named Golgotha outside of the vineyard, and crucified him. The analogy is this, that the Jews are not the rightful heirs of the land of Israel. They are not heirs to the kingdom. They are instead usurpers. Now, there's a lot of people all over the, let's just say, kind of prophecy world that talk about, you know, in the end times, after all this time being an unbelief, that embedded within this group of people in the Middle East, quite possibly, according to a lot of theologians, there is a remnant there that God is dealing with. You got to believe what you're going to believe. We all, you know, I'm not telling you what to believe, but we know the Rothschilds and a bunch of the rabbinic and communist, you know, the Rabbi Stephen Wise types and all these other ones, the David Ben-Gurion types, all these Marxists and so forth, they all kind of got together, a big hodgepodge of different quote unquote Jews, and they took this nation and created it. And, you know, and you had Harry Truman being the first to recognize the state of Israel and all this stuff. Kind of interesting. Yet arrogantly today we find world Jewry, the Jews of all the earth, claiming the ancient land of Palestine to be their divine inheritance. These usurpers of the kingdom have been so audacious as to murder and imprison others whom they had drove off the land. And committing these awful crimes, their accomplices, the governments of the USA, Britain, France, Germany, and other nations must also share the judgment to come. The evangelical Zionist Christians, including the largest non-Catholic denominations, as well as the Rome-based Catholic Church and its pontiff, are also complicit in these great crimes and are in rebellion against God, and they too will suffer the judgment of God. So that's the last kind of few things that Tex Mars was saying. There's a lot of room for people's different interpretations of what is happening right now in the Middle East. Jerusalem shall become a burdensome stone, and all of those prophecies. And so it's pretty fascinating to watch all this unfold with all these red heifers now coming into play. And then Hamas allegedly saying that one of the reasons why they did the October 7 incident was because of the whole red heifer thing and them kind of knowing that, that the Jews are about to try to do something to the Dome of the Rock and get rid of this mosque. And so you know, I looked at this thing with Netanyahu and the Israeli government and this October 7th operation, this stand down and all that stuff. And I'm sure many of you saw this Rabbi Shmuley, Alex Jones debate. Okay. And Rabbi Shmuley, this character is pretty quick on his feet. He's not some pushover. And, but he's, you know, the whole thing dust up with him and Candace Owens and the thing on Purim where he's dressed up, you know, really crazy and really sick, twerking on little kids and all this stuff. You know, a lot of these Jews get drunk on Purim and act a fool. And then the 322 Moscow incident happened the day before Purim. Okay, and we know 322, a lot of crazy stuff has happened on 322. But the thing with Shmuley and Jones and this, and Jones went after him about this stand down, and he tried to kind of say, well, it was a very holy day of the Sabbath and everything, and all the Jews, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when it comes to Jewish military, Israeli military stuff, they're not going to all stand down just because it's a high holy day. That would be crazy. It's, you know, so. But it's almost I've almost got this kind of feeling that the whatever this reconstituted Sanhedrin over there in Israel, they've given the word that they are ready to go with one of these red heifer type sacrifices. So therefore, probably this operation got put into, you know, motion. And now you're seeing, and when I get back on the other side, maybe I'll play this Jared Kushner. Now you're seeing this whole thing of machinations where people from all over the political spectrum are talking about moving the people from Gaza into the West, into Europe, into Canada, into the United States, and so forth, like they're never going to come back. And so you're seeing the leveling of Gaza. And then Jared Kushner is talking about how it could be redeveloped. It's like they're ready to go with this mosque operation soon. And so we have all this stuff happening here with the eclipse and all the operations that could be run under the auspices of this eclipse. Very, very crazy. We'll see you on the other side. He must mean that our chance is flying. And when oh, will we ever see hope again? Oh, yeah, is it so hard to say goodbye? Oh, well, at least I can still remember when our city used to be such a beautiful place. But now you can't walk down the street and things don't seem the same. My hands are in the air, it makes no sense to me. And I cannot explain this tragedy. My first trip to the city, I remember thinking that the buildings stood so tall. And when I see them, my heart softly grabs a shirt to sit rabbit. They seem now rather small. So why, must we let our chances fly? And when, oh, will we ever see hope again? And why, is it so hard to say goodbye? Oh, well, at least I can still remember when our city used to be such a beautiful place. But now you can't walk down the street and things don't seem the same. My hands are in the air, it makes no sense to me. And I cannot explain this tragedy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.